B-Pod Studios.
Let's go to Champagne Haynes on the Fanatic. What's up, Champagne?
Oh, Champagne.
Pop a cork, brother.
Hey, popping the corks over here.
What's up, brother?
Doing today? Hey, I want to talk a little Sixers, but first I want to hit on Boogie Cousins coming back. My God. The only team that's going to be able to go toe-to-toe with them is probably the Monstars from Space Jam. That's it. That's the only team
that's
going to be able to do it.
That's it. That's
yep,
it.
That's Space it. Jam. And I'd like to see a coaching matchup, though. You know, Danny DeVito versus Kerr, that'd be pretty cool. But anyway, Sixers. Recap real quick. Pacers game, fantastic. That was awesome. Seeing them come out and play a full game, that was really good. OKC, flat first half. They could have really folded up fast, but I'm glad to see how they played through. And I actually would have liked to see Ben take that shot at the end.
That would have
been cool to talk about. You know, I have 1-3, but that would have been like, I would have been okay with it. He would have chucked it up. Who knows what would have happened.
Yes.
But tonight's game is going to be rough. I really think that you just concentrate on shutting down Harden. That's it. That's it. You know, go for the win, but shut him down. That would be a big statement for their defense. Post-up game with Ben Simmons would be awesome. They showed that the other night, which he can do, obviously. And, you know, drive to the basket. Create the fouls. Get to the line. That's how they lost the other game. They missed a lot of fouls. So get to the line. Keep shooting them. They should have a good chance of winning tonight. I have them winning 113-109.
Okay.
Oh, I like it. You can give me the score.
That's a cover, too. It's a 3.5-point line.
Is it really?
Yep, yeah. Yep.
I might be low scoring, though. Low scoring.
Yeah. I just think they really need to wrap up Harden, you know. But you can't touch. You can't breathe on them because they'll probably call a foul. Sure. So if you go both ways, you know, if we keep driving, we might get the fouls. So just don't breathe on them too hard. Simple as that.
You got Champagne Haynes.
All right, hey, thanks for the tip, man. We'll get the bet in, all right?
Champagne. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Pop the cork, brother.
Popping it.
113-109. He's on the record, Ant. I'm trying to see how many. Ben Simmons has not attempted a 3-point shot this year, which is amazing. He has not attempted a 3-point shot. How many did he attempt last year? Was it like, I think a couple more like half court heaves type thing? Like 9 or something?
I think they were all half-court heaves.
Where he didn't attempt it, actually, a 3-point shot in the game. This is crazy.
Unless there was a desperation shot clock 3-pointer, but I don't think he shot one last year either.
No.
You would think in some of these games where they're, like, up handily, maybe he'd jack one up.
Listen, he's got to start it. Obviously, we talk about it all the time. But the worrisome thing is he's got to go to the rim.
Well, let me ask you this.
He's got to go knock down free throws with confidence.
We know what his stat line is. 16.6 points he's averaging this year. He's 8.2 assists per game, 9.5 rebounds a game. He's averaging like 33 minutes a night. Are you getting a little worried, though, that he's not showing this willingness still?
No.
It's his second year in the league.
I'm not worried yet because...
Modicum of concern?
I mean, you know, I think he's young, so, you know, I attribute it to youth.
Is it like, embarrassment, though?
Because youth will, think about it, youth, you're more prone to being not wanting to look bad, right? The older you get, you know, you realize that you don't care what people think.
Yeah, I think part of it is, like, I'm going to look bad if I
become
really
a man,
airball
like,
it.
You know, you watch LeBron, you know, the evolution of LeBron. You know, he becomes a man. You know, I mean, when he was still, he was worried about what people were thinking and people are saying.
Because of the...
For his first few years.
Because of the stature of which he entered the league.
Yeah.
As the next massive superstar.
Right.
Yeah, Ben's got to just get over it at some point and just say, you know, I don't give a damn. I got to take these shots. I'm never going to be able to make them if I don't take them. You know what Gretzky said? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's go to Graph and Media.
How about you quote Gretzky?
Yeah, well, that's one of the great quotes.
It is.
We cite it to the hockey team all the time. Let's go to Graph and Media. I was saying it this morning. Graph and Media is on the Fanatic. What's up, Graph?
What's up, gentlemen? Anthony, you sound as defeated as I am about Ben Simmons not driving the lane on that last play,
I
man.
I just don't understand it, brother.
Yeah, dude, it's so... And, of course, he gives the ball off to the one guy that they absolutely know would be getting the ball in that scenario, and he's given no opportunity to make a bucket. So it's
right.
It's sad. But I wanted to highlight on the Carson thing real quick. And I'm not surprised by the article because this is something that has been done for numerous quarterbacks in the past. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, you name it. Some form of article has come out. But maybe there is a chance that we hold him a little bit to a higher of a standard than maybe he's capable of being at. And the reason why I say that is because we're talking about a kid that has been the center of every football universe he's been a part of. He has been from high school to college to the NFL. He has been the center of that universe. So to assume the fact that he may not have any form of complex, I think is a little bit naive. Now, obviously, it sounds like someone was disgruntled that came forth and said all of this stuff. So you can only really take it for what it's worth at face value. But I think there may be some truth highlighted in there about the type of person Carson is. And I'm not saying he's a bad person. I'm saying that he's a competitor and he's a player and he likes to do things his way because it's worked for him his entire life when it comes to the sport of football. So I feel like everyone does need to take a little bit of a step back and say to themselves, like, he's a human being. And there is a possibility that he is not nearly as above all of this as we may think he is. And on top of that, though, there's also nothing wrong with that. Like, it's good to see the fact there may be a little bit of a problem with our golden boy, because in all honesty, it's kind of lame when you sit here and all you hear is just just non-objective talk about him. I'm just saying, like, I think there's maybe too high of a standard.
Listen, I mean, you know, we got a lot of hope perfect for him. And you hope that, and thanks, brother. Good stuff, man, as always. You know, we got a whole lot of hope for the guy, and you hope that he can blossom into being the franchise quarterback that we saw. I mean, we saw last year, we saw a guy that was poised to be a franchise quarterback. He was there.
Showed it.
Yeah.
I mean, he was incredible through those first 13 games. Not good. Great.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what, again, and I just don't know the nature of who we're talking about. I don't know the nature of who these players or who the writer's sources are, you know.
What's the agenda? Why? Why have this information out? Why it come out now? I'm just trying to figure out the agenda, the motivation. You always look for the motivation, right? Like, you understand when certain stuff gets out, and you can see it plain as day. You recognize it when you see stories come out about Harper and Machado. That's the agent driving up price, or we haven't made any kind of decision yet, or all of a sudden, now teams are rumored to be coming in at the last minute. That's all the motivation of an agent for a reason.
Yeah.
Torrey Smith tweeted out, former Eagle wide receiver, good guy, really good guy, Torrey Smith. He said, don't even have to read this article, and I bet my newborn child 99% of this is poop emoji. So thanks to Jesse for tweeting that to me. But somebody else tweeted me and said, have you noticed that none of the people coming to Carson's defense, Philly 32 says this, something of interest, no current wide receivers have tweeted anything in support of Wentz today. Just saying. This story is deaf true. Cuz needs to stop putting down this journalist. Well, we're not putting down Joe. We've known Joe for a long time.
Listen, I'm not putting him down at all. I'm just, as someone who's done that job for a long time, read the story, it doesn't smell right to me. I like Joe. I think he's a hard worker. But why would that story go to Joe and not to the beat writers that are there all the time and they talk to these guys all the time?
Well, Philly Voice has been putting up the different responses from Eagles players on their website. And, Andrew, another player has now come out and had something to say.
Oh, yeah. Nate the Great Sudfeld has checked in.
He's weighing in. Okay.
He said, I'm around Carson arguably more than anybody on the team, and I feel obligated to say how false and simply wrong the claims made about him are. Carson is one of the best leaders and teammates I've been around in my years playing football. He's handled the last 2 years with such grace and poise and has never put anything above the Philadelphia Eagles. Philly is so lucky to have that guy leading the franchise. Can't wait to see him be back balling on the field next year.
Okay, Nate Sudfeld now weighing in, along with Zach Ertz, Fletcher Cox.
Well, everybody's rallying. I mean,
yeah. Which you would expect them to do, and which is good to see. But, you know, when you look at the situation, and Philly Voice put out a thing saying, hey, we stand by our sources and our reporting. That's what they're saying. Of course, they're going to say that as well. but where this kind of goes from here, and we'll see. And you brought up the point. If you see a beat, whether that's Jeff McClain, Zach Berman, Ruben Frank, Jimmy Kemsky, guys are on that beat, Tim McManus, if that's corroborated, then now there's smoke and there may be fire.
Listen, I don't know. I don't know Carson, right? So I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know. I don't know if it's true. I just know, I just read the story and go, all right, I'm just making a judgment call on it. And I'm not telling you that Joe made it up. I mean, he's not that type of guy. So I don't think he made it up. But I do think there's context. I also do think that, you know, there's a lot of guys around a football team. And you got a lot of guys around a football team. And you got people with agendas. And stuff's been said all the time. Like, it's not unique where guys are talking behind other guys' backs.
Well, it gets very competitive and petty at times. And like Graf said, you can research articles and find stuff like this coming out about Aaron Rodgers
Tom Brady. The weird thing about the story is that when you boil it down, it's the story is that that Carson Wentz is basically, what, a selfish player?
And plays favorites.
And the fans. See, that I don't buy.
Me neither.
All right? Like, can I buy that he's such a competitor and he'll rub some people the wrong way and maybe he trampled over Mike Rowe? Okay, I could buy it, I guess. I can't buy it. The guy's playing favorites. You're a football player. You're a quarterback. There's no such thing as favorites.
No, you want to win.
You go through your progressions. Exactly. This is ridiculous. I've heard this now mentioned several times that he shows favorite, that there's favoritism to Zach Ertz. That's outrageous.
Well, let me give you a stat.
That's a ridiculous claim.
Schmitty from Barstool tweeted this out about that supposed favoritism. Targets per game to Zach Ertz with Nick Foles, 9.3 targets per game. Targets per game to Zach Ertz with Carson Wentz, 9.6. Nominal.
It's
just not a fact. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. It is the Midday Show. We're here on MLK Day. It is 97.5, The Fanatic.
Yeah, let's get back to the games. I love the games.
I agree.
Games are incredible. Yesterday, just sitting there watching those games, just amazing.
I agree.
Riveting football. Wow. And, you know, you could bet on it and the big game at the South Philly Turf Club. That's right. The Turf Club is now open because you know why? It's Parks Racing and Casino. That's what it is. And now it's sports betting at the Turf Club. So it's open right now. You want to go watch a little Philly-Houston tonight on the hardwood? You could stop over at the Turf Club on the way down and pick what you want. They have all the games, right? The lines. But they also have the player props, which is a lot of fun. If you think that Jimmy's going to go off tonight, take a look at it. Over 23. Throw a fit on it. Who knows? Parks really has together with two now great locations for sports betting. You can check out the Best Slip Builder app they've created. It's the South Philly Turf Club and Parks Casino Sportsbook at Parks Casino.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You and I were just talking during the break. This Romo is absurdly good.
I totally agree. Graf sent me this video that somebody else tweeted out. He said, you thought Tom Brady was great tonight? Here are some snippets of Tony Romo's late game forecasting and wizardry. In the fourth quarter and overtime, I mean, he goes on the one play. They're in the huddle. And he goes, you got to split Gronkowski out here to the left in a wide receiver position. And then what do you know? They line up and then he circles. There he goes. He's right there. That's where they lined him up. They will look to him to go to him here. And what happens? Boom, they go to him there. He's down to the 4-yard line.
Yeah, but you know what's even more amazing is that as he's doing this, So he forecasts the whole game. He deciphers and X's and O. The game. Like, it's unbelievable. Like what he does. He called out the Chiefs. I was freaking out. All right, I'm going. You know, I was killing Porsche bags, like, because it's my only.
You're blowing them up yeah. on his phone.
Because, you know, it's my only validation, right? And I want the validation. So I go, dude, you know that the Patriots are going to try to shorten the game, right? Well, you know, like, Belichick comes down and goes, I don't want to try to run the ball. That offense is wickedly potent. I lost Josh Gordon. I don't know if I have the horses as great and clutch as we are to go up against this team, this Chiefs team in Kansas City, right? So you want to shorten the game. So why would Bob Sutton play a defense that promotes the Patriots to run the ball? We talked about that when I talked about this with the Eagles and Saints game. Do you remember what I said earlier in the week? You could put a defense out there that's going to allow promote them to do something, right? Throw it or run it. That's why I said, you know, look, you want to make sure that the Saints run the ball. That you're not giving up long touchdowns over the top like an
average limit possession
48-7. Exactly. But if you're the Chiefs, you got to go. You want to be up tempo. You want to play Golden State Warriors basketball. So what you want to do is force Brady to throw. Sounds crazy, but you know, at least you're going to get possessions. You're going to get the ball.
Track meet it.
You don't want them to bleed the clock. That's what they did. They bled the clock. You know, who knows if they play a different defense in the first half, maybe they get more possessions. They get in a rhythm offensively, and they can win.
Yeah, I'm looking right now to see how many possessions the Chiefs had in the first half in that game. Because you're right. I mean, the Chiefs got. Nobody was shutting the Chiefs out of half of football this year. It just wasn't happening.
They have four possessions, right?
Four possessions, yeah. And one of them was, well, three, really. The last one was just one play and to halftime.
Okay. Right.
Three possessions.
Which is another reason why I would have went for it. I know it was in my own territory, but it's fourth and less than a yard. I got to go for it. I can't punt the ball back.
And you got to recognize.
And not see it for 6 minutes.
Yeah, you got to recognize that you're not getting it back off in here. So when you get it, you better do something with it.
So that's why Romo's second half going, look, see, this is, and he explained it perfectly. Kansas City is big linemen, they get their big package in. They New England throws. They sub out. What do? They run Sony Michel.
Extremely effective.
He was amazing. And then he said, when he had the Gronkowski, it was ridiculous. He says, watch Barry.
This is right, great, yeah.
Watch Barry, and you can see if he goes here, Gronkowski's going to take it down the sidelines. But because he went down the sidelines last time, watch Barry's going to take that away. So Gronkowski cuts it up.
And Brady's smart enough to realize what he's giving him and throws it to the inside of the
field. That's the play. Right. Yep. That's the play.
Yeah,
I mean, all those
amazing
quarterbacks, that's their reads
yep.
with their receiver. But Romo's saying this. Romo sees it. It's easy to see it after a replay. He's seen it live.
He's all seen a pre-snap. And he's able to articulate all this stuff very quickly.
He processes information.
It's amazing.
He's the best.
All right, Jim, here's the situation. Boom, boom, boom. If he walks up the line and checks, they're going to run to the right side. That's what they do here.
You know, you know what's so rare about him is that he's that smart and forecast that stuff, but he's not a know-it-all.
No, he doesn't come off that way. You're right.
Which is really impressive. Like, that's a tough thing to do. Like, when you do know it all, like, that guy knows it all. And to not come across as know it all, even though he does know it all.
Well, I think it's because he loves the game. Like, he's, like, so into it. He's like, and late in that fourth quarter, and, all right, here it is. This is it right here. Like, he's getting juiced up about it. He's a fan.
He's, that's what I love about him. I love his enthusiasm. How about before the game? The pregame, he's like, excited. Oh, where is Kansas City, Arrowhead? He's loving it.
Well, he never got that's to play in these games.
Well, but that's what I want for my that's what I love broadcasters, right? Because I think they mean so much to the game. And I want them to enjoy the game like I would. That's why I like Musburger. Because Brent was excited to be there. You're looking live.
And, well, he wanted to make it big, right?
Right. Like, it was funny. Somebody wrote a story these years ago. in a, it was in GQ, and the guy had depression, bad case of depression. And so he talks about watching a Big 12 college basketball game, like a Big Monday. Remember Big Monday?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Big 12 game, and it was Iowa State against maybe A&M, I don't know. Iowa State, Baylor, you know, something like that. And he was talking about just, he was depressed. He just wanted to zone out, and he started listening to Musburger call this game. And it, like, it touched him in a way because he remembered him as a child, like, being a sports fan, and it was a great escape for him. And this whole thing, it was really a fascinating story about, because he connects the depression with just watching this college basketball game with Brent Musburger.
And then he got enjoyment out of it.
And taking him away from it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's amazing. Well, Brent was like a warm blanket. He's one of those guys, when you heard him, you go, oh, it's going to be good today.
Yeah.
You always knew that. You hear that, you go, oh, okay. Well, like,
you are looking live at one of the grandest venues in American sport.
Well, it's like
it's back, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's big. Like, and
Oklahoma.
And the beauty of what he did was, and so this is Romo's, Romo does, it doesn't matter what game he's at. He's just happy to be at a game.
He's blessed to be doing what he's doing and bring it in a way that
right, he's
translates.
Like, he's loving it. Like, all right, let's do this.
Yeah.
We got a game.
You're right about Romo. Like, because when you're constantly, it's almost, it can be, get preachy. It can be, you know, really condescending in a way. But he delivers it to that he's educating you.
Likeable.
By just being enthusiastic and real.
Yes, yeah,
he's real.
You know, it's
authentic.
Funny. No wonder why. Every coach I've ever met loves Romo. Loves him. Because he probably, look how smart he is. Studies everything. Knows everything.
Well, he's an undrafted player. And it's amazing to do what he did considering physical limitations.
Eastern Illinois.
Yeah. And then I tweeted this out during the game yesterday. I said, if Tony Romo seemingly knows just about every play and audible, why doesn't the opposition, just saying? Well, knowing what it is and stopping it's one thing. But he's seen it from up top, and he's got,
right.
And he's not in the mix of the game, and that he's got to perform but he can translate it.
Who said it? Was Stephen A. about hiring him as a coach?
Well, Garofalo said it.
Mike said that.
Yeah, he tweeted it. Stephen A. said that he was. I saw a tweet from him that he was just blown away by the performance of Tony Romo. I saw Richard Dietsch tweeted it out as well. People were just blown away by what he was doing during that game yesterday. Yeah, Garofalo said some NFL owner is watching this game, ready to fire his head coach if Romo will take the job. I hate to lose him from the booth.
Guess what? They should.
I hope they don't.
They should.
He's so good in television, though.
I know.
There's no wins and losses in TV.
Nah, but you know, he's a competitor. Those guys need to compete.
He was a gamer. He would have been a guy, had he played here, people would have loved him.
Oh, totally. But he's got to compete. Like, you know, you want to keep. That's why if you look at, it's funny. You know, you're a media guy, a real football guy who's doing media. You want to get back in the league.
Yeah, because you want the rush of winning.
You want to compete. I mean, look at Mike Mayock, right? Gets the job of his dreams. It's easy doing it on TV where, you know, you're wrong. All right, there's nothing at stake.
There's no consequence.
But like Mike said, he said, you know, look, now I got paycheck on the line.
Yeah. He's got to get it done to keep his job, and he's got a lot of assets there to do it with. You better get it right.
Yeah.
We're going, well, it's Mayock. He could talk a big game on TV. When it came time to make the pick, did he make the right pick? And dealing with Gruden is going to be a whole full-time job as well for him. 610-632-0975. He wants to talk about yesterday. Our man VT Ron checking in. What's up, Ronnie?
Hey, boys, what's going on? Hey, what's going on?
What do you say, Ron?
Hey, it's doing good. Hey, you know what? Tony Romo. It's kind of like you're at a game and you're sitting next to him and he's at the seat next to you. That's what it feels like when you're listening to him. I mean, that's the analogy. It's like he's right next to you and you're talking ball.
Yeah,
that's kind of what he brings it right to you. And you know, on the first game, Kevin Harlan was on the first game. He talked about a play-by-play guy. Man, there's one guy that can really do a play-by-play on the radio. Kevin Harlan is great.
One of my favorites.
Hey, listen.
Yeah, you're right on.
The streaker call puts him in legendary status with VT Ron.
Yes, yes. Do you remember that? He did a play-by-play of the streaker.
He's running at the 30. He's naked. Yeah, he's awesome.
Streaker.
He's great. Hey, listen, a couple things. I'm watching the Saints-Rams game yesterday. And if I'm nuts, tell me. But all I kept saying to myself is, what if Alshon caught the ball?
Oh.
I'm saying it the whole game.
Know,
what
right?
if? And I know what ifs, you know, Ant.
Yeah.
I'm saying, and I actually woke up this morning a little bit down because I really think if he had caught the ball and we'd gone on to win that game, I think we would have been playing. We'd be playing in Atlanta. I really sincerely believe that at the bottom of my heart. I really do. And that's kind of what I took away from the weekend. Other than it was great football, you had replays, you had blown calls, you had great calls by the offense and the defense, good, fantastic plays. That's what it's supposed to be all about. That's what Championship Sunday is supposed to be all about. And I thought,
yeah.
I thought it meant it, you know?
Totally. It's too, incredible.
You know, the other thing, too, I got to bring, and I'll listen to what you guys think about this. Is there any way that you got to change the OT rule, especially
yes.
in the playoffs?
Listen, I'm with you.
You
know, I think you gave the other team a chance. Yeah.
Here's what I got to do. I got to bring in, and maybe I'm off this, and you know, Ann, I'm a big college guy, but I'd like to see the college rule come in, but start him at the 35.
Yeah.
Mahomes should have put the ball should have been in Mahomes' hands at least once in that game.
I agree.
If it put the ball, you know, and I just wanted to think about what you all think about the overtime rule, too. Maybe touch on that a little bit. But, hey, guys, it was a great year, great weekend. It's not over, I know, the Super Bowl in a couple weeks, but, yeah, I just enjoyed it. It was a great ride this year. Now what are we going to do in the wintertime? We got the Sixers, right? Got the Sixers and maybe the Flyboys, right, Jason?
Well, a lot of teams to jump over and maybe a little bit too far behind, Ronnie, but at least they're playing well, so that's that portends well for the future.
Ask you this, too. Do I spend the money to get the second half of the season on NFL.com?
Sure, yeah, you're
NHL. NHL.com.
Yeah, get the game center. You'll be good to go. Thanks, Ron.
Good stuff, man. Ronnie. Take it easy, buddy.
Bye, buddy.
The NFL overtime rule. I am not in favor of the college rule. I don't like it.
No, it's too gimmicky.
Mm-hmm.
See, what I would do is I think it needs to change. I think you need to give the other team a possession regardless. It should be, you know, luck, you know, score, they match it. And then
what about the regular season? Because you're up against a clock there, too.
Yeah, I feel the same way, I mean, about the regular season. They've already shortened it to 10 minutes, so whatever. They get another shot.
What was the game? The Eagles were in the game this year where they almost ran the clock out in overtime.
Yeah.
Who was that against? I can't.
Yeah,
was it against Dallas?
No. Damn. Hold on, I'll think of it.
It was later in the season.
Right now.
Yeah.
But it was like mid-season. Anyway, was it Tennessee the overtime game?
Yeah, that was the 4th-and-15 game, but I thought that there was one later in the season that
yeah.
they would have had like 2 minutes left.
So anyway, but let's talk
oh,
about
what's the Cowboys lost, 26-23.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
They'd had no time left on the clock. And we were going, Doug, you got to start using timeouts because you're going to have no time if you stop them.
All right. But I would change it. I think it's, look, 20 years ago, defense was defense, and it was much tougher to score. But now, because all the rules are what they are, it so favors the offense.
Yeah. I don't like the idea of, hey, you start at the 35. Like,
you just play the game to me. Like, all right.
Play the game the way it's played.
Then, you know, Kansas City has it, like yesterday, right? New England goes down and scores a touchdown. Kansas City has to write the match. They go down, they score. Then it's sudden death.
Yeah, because I don't want a coin flip to determine if a team has a chance to push
the
game
forward.
You
got to give the defense a shot, like, twice, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just because it's so under the gun.
If you don't stop them twice and you both match and go 7-7,
right.
then you go, okay, I didn't stop them twice. Now it's getting ridiculous.
Exactly.
610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. Let's go to, what is that? Karthik. The Battle of Karthik? Is that from Gladiator?
It is.
Right? Is that the... Which one was that? Was that the first one? The first battle? For Maximus?
Yes. And
oh, yeah, the other one was the Battle of Antioch.
Yeah, Antioch.
Let's go to Carthage. Yeah, let's go to Karthik. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, what's up? I've never gotten quite that kind of introduction. Appreciate it.
Well, I should have gone full tilt. Let's go to Karthik in the Poconos. Son.
I love it. I don't know why.
Sorry. I was going to go like the whole son of a murder, you know, the whole thing.
Oh, that's amazing. I love it. I'm honored. I just want to shed a couple lights on yesterday. Love the game. Terrific fun. Tony Romo, I just want to talk about that for one sec. We all had that experience of watching games with like 10 people, big games, and there's always that one guy that says, that just talks the whole game, questions, why did they make that call? Why is the coach doing this? this is what's about to happen. And then he's right about 40% of the time, but he makes it seem like it's 100% of the time. Well, Romo is right 100% of the time,
yeah.
and is somehow not annoying about it.
I know,
and
right?
It's tough feat.
And I've never seen something like that. Like, I bow down to that man. I follow, in the second half, I started following only what he says. There was one play where he said, running back will chip, tight end will chip, they'll go to Edelman across the middle. It was a big play, 3rd and 10. And it was prophetic. It was amazing. And I love that. I mean, I'm not a football connoisseur in terms of the X's and O's. And I just love that analysis. And it makes me feel like closer to the game. And I really appreciate that.
That's well, cool.
The thing to Karthik is that he explains why he does this all very briefly and quick. In a way that, like you said, it's not demeaning or know-it-all. And he does it, and he explains why it's happening, and he does it with such great energy. Yeah, he like loves the game, and he gets all juiced up about, oh, 3rd down, Jim, this is going to be a big spot, and look for this. And 90% of the time, he's dead-ass accurate.
He makes Nance a lot likable, too.
Well, the other thing, too, that I think is the brilliant part of this, Ant, and this pairing, is that Nance is an old venerable broadcaster, but lets Tony be Tony. That's why it works.
He gets a kick out of him.
Yeah. I think it's given him a lot of energy, too. Nance.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Karthik.
No, Romo's one of us. I loved it. And the other part that I want to shed light on was a quick thing about the Foles-Carson thing. I wouldn't be so quick to fully dismiss this report, only because coming from North Dakota State to Philadelphia is like going from a pond to an ocean in terms of the scrutiny, the media. And for anyone that thinks it's complete BS, this report, I would just caution them to wait until Alshon or Nelson Aguilar come out in defense of Carson, just like 7 other players have so far. Because Alshon Jeffrey, the last 5 games, was an absolute terror. And I have never felt
Let me ask you a question. Do you actually believe that Carson Wentz plays favorites?
No, but I believe that Carson has tunnel vision sometimes to Ertz on big plays when he is really.
Did he have it last year?
I think so.
I think go back and look. He connected with Alshon a lot last year.
Yeah, and I just read you the targets: 9.3 from Foles to Ertz per game. 9.6 Wentz to Ertz.
Yeah, this idea of favoritism of a quarterback showing outward favoritism. Come on,
yeah, that sounds like sour grapes.
Now there's certain guys that you know you have a connection with, but my lord, if that were true, that he's freezing out guys, which I think is absurd. If it were true. It gets rid of you lose all your credibility as an athlete.
Well, let me take it a step further, because Smitty from Barstool is rolling here, Ant. In regards to this report again, I brought you the one 9.3 to 9.6 from Foles to Ertz, Wentz to Ertz. All right, targets per game with Foles to Alshon Jeffrey, 7. Targets per game with Carson Wentz to Alshon Jeffrey, 7.4. Targets to Golden Tate with Nick Foles, 5.4. Targets to Golden Tate with Carson Wentz, 6. So the numbers don't substantiate the report.
Yeah, good work by Spinny.
Yeah, breaking it down.
Yeah.
But the thing is, too, and I think you nailed it. I think you finally cracked the code where it makes some sense to me. And I want you to kind of explain this when we get back, all right? The thing that you said is, yeah, a competitive player can grade on other players because he's constantly pushing. Like, come on, we got to be better. And some players, they can handle that. Other players can't. And sometimes, with a young offensive coordinator, you may be pushing that guy, too.
Yeah, if you told me that Carson ran roughshod over Mike Rowe, all right, I could buy it. But you can't tell me that he's playing favorites. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and the data just simply doesn't support that fact. It just doesn't.
That story is... The problem with that story is you don't know who the players are, and thus it creates context. There's issues with context. I don't know. I mean, were they practice squad guys? Who's talking, right? Like, that's the issue.
It's an interesting word to use, context, because I texted a reporter for his thoughts on it. That's not involved in that paper or that publication in any way, shape, or form. And that's the exact word they used. Context. What is the context? Midday Show, 97.5 The Fanatic is back right after this. Hey, I got to tell you about Window Nation, because we're wishing you a happy new year from Window Nation, and there's something to be very happy about this new year. Still going on. Window Nation's 000 sale. Zero down payment, zero payments, and 0% interest for a full year all the way up until 2020. And that's not all. Window Nation's 000 sale is a triple deal. You'll also get $200 off every window, any size, any style, and with a whole house order, Window Nation will pay your heating bill until the new windows are installed. You're going to save hundreds, even thousands of dollars now, and who knows how much more with energy savings, plus higher home value for many new years to come. So start this year with Window Nation windows for an inviting, warm, cozy, and comfortable home. Boy, you could use that today. The 000 sale, it ends soon, so visit windownation.com today for zero down payment, zero payments, and 0% interest for 12 months. On top of that, you'll get $200 off each window with no minimum purchase required. Plus, Window Nation, they'll pay your heating bill until the new windows are installed. So save today, save tomorrow, save for New Year's to come, all by calling 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Again, that's 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com and tell them Jason sent you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
How's everyone doing? Go to the rim, man. Go to the rim.
Tonight, go to the rim, man. I'm sorry. Midday Show. Jason Mantidis and Anthony Gargano. What a great, great sports weekend, though. All together.
Awesome.
Jays Flyers, Saturday night.
Sixers, great game. Lost, but a great game.
It was a great game. Duke, Virginia.
Doubleheader yesterday was tremendous.
That was a great basketball game.
And then you're going to roll right into Sixers Rockets tonight, and James Harden just torching right now. It's going to be tremendous.
Hey, by the way, Jay Wright, he is coaching. He's such a great coach. You see this team he's got?
The team he had last year or last couple of years.
He's doing a hell of a job.
He's the best.
I was watching him Friday night. You're just so well coached.
He gets everybody to buy in, and the thing about him, like, he's retooling. This is like a retool year, but he's retooling. He's not going to make waves this year in the tournament, despite how well coached they are.
I got news for you. I am so impressed by what they've done.
He is unbelievable. I've said it. I think he's the best coach in Philadelphia sports in the last 30 years. Or really since 1990. Mm-hmm. I don't know of another coach that
great coach
goes to his level. Dougie Legend on Twitter tweets into the show, Ant. He says, I got this message from tweeting Mike Garofolo, your old producer, and asking him about this Wentz situation. One of the national guys I respect and was just in the locker room the other day.
That it's good he trusts Mike.
Yep, Mike's great. He asked him about it. Mike Garofolo's response was, mountain out of a molehill. There are shreds of truth in there, but also a severe lack of context and understanding.
Context, wow.
There's that word, right?
Where'd that word come from?
You just brought it up. I brought it up that I heard from a reporter using that same word, and that reporter was not Mike Garofolo. And now Mike Garofolo, who was plugged in on the situation as well. So you have to consider context a lot of times.
Yeah.
It's a big part of the equation. And, you know, there's been a lot of refuting the report from Fletcher Cox and Zach Ertz to Brandon Brooks, Nate Sudfeld chiming in as well, and others. So, like you said before, if a beat or another reporter corroborates or reports on it similarly, then maybe where there's smoke, there's fire. But right now, to me, it's a bit of perhaps a non-story. It's a story because it's a story, but it's, I don't know that I think it lacks context.
How is it a story if you don't know? Look, you know what's the story? Alshon Jeffrey comes out on the record and says, hey, man, Carson ignores me. And, you know, again, last year he didn't, but if he came out this year and said, Carson ignores me because of his buddy, Zach Ertz. That's a story, all right? That's a story.
Yeah, that's putting a name into the whole thing. Yeah.
If it's, I don't know, some practice squad guy or Nelson Aguilar who said something, you're not looking my way.
Bryce Treggs.
Well, that's not a story. That's sour grapes on the dude. You know, so I, context is everything when it comes to that. I think the mistake by the writer happens where he portrays this thing as though everybody in the room hates Carson. That's what it reads like. That Carson's not a team guy. Everybody on the team hates him.
Well, why wouldn't you think that based on what he wrote? Because he said it's the Philadelphia Eagles, not the Philadelphia Wences. Like, that's a quote in the story, a claimed source quote.
That's what the tenor is from the story. Now, also, see, the other problem, too, is you got the credibility is difficult when you've tweeted anti-Wentz stuff in the past.
Yeah, and everybody's kind of screenshotting the author, Joe Santoliquito's of tweets from the past. You want a couple of them real quick? Let me give you a couple. Because, look, you can always claim agenda.
The games, but.
Yeah, let me get to it real quick because I know people are interested in this. A couple of people tweeted me different stuff in regards to some tweets that went out in context, per se. And here's what it is. It's relevant context from the author, basically. And it says, Joe wrote a story, Wentz is gradually building the nickname TQC, short for three quarters Carson, because he plays well for three quarters, then tends to get nervous in the clutch. He also claimed, it amazed me the blind loyalty Wentz engenders from what I thought I would never say, the Eagles Stepford fans. But he is, quote, Captain Carson. He walks on the water of millions in Eagle land. He just never won an NFL playoff game. He's still not Brady, Montana, or Elway, not yet. Says he gets jittery in crunch time, and he refuses to be one of the Wentz minstrels who toots his greatness every time he completes a pass. He needs to prove he can win in the clutch, and he hasn't, all in caps. So, I mean, look, if I know people use those considerations and past dialogue or opinions and how they trust a story or a newer report that's just come out today. So, very interesting. Let's go to Israel and Elkins Park is on the Fanatic. How you doing, Iz?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How's everybody doing?
What's up, Iz?
Listen, I broke this down, and I just want y'all to go with me for a little bit. So, I'm 11 years old, and I watched Randall Cunningham jump over somebody's head. And I fell in love with football. From then on, I haven't missed it. I couldn't believe what I saw. The thing that the city wanted most, the thing that I wanted most that I had no control over, was the Eagles winning a Super Bowl. Nick Foles did that. So I had my Randall moment. I had my Nick Foles moment. And what hasn't happened is there hasn't been a thing that Carson Wentz has done to get people to fall in love with him. We fall in love with our players. And he's just never delivered. Like that Cowboys game, you know, I was talking to my brother, that Cowboys game that we lost.
Let me ask a question. Last year he didn't
I need him to win that game for me. I don't know how.
I get it. But question. He didn't do that last year?
No.
No?
Because for 41 years, people always always held over my head. We never won a Super Bowl.
Listen, my brother, they don't get to the Super Bowl without Wentz because he got them home field throughout.
But I don't know that, Ant.
Come on, Ant, you know that.
I
love Randall too.
We're one catch away from going to the NFC Championship. I mean, and he was 5-6 during his start. I don't know that. Nick Foles magic.
Well, you do know that because it was a fact. He got them the best record in the NFL last year, in the NFC.
I know it, but I'm talking about my moment, my chance where I can say that this guy, like, it has to be when it counts, when it matters the most, where I can be turned loose on my friends and my enemies and the Saints fans, and I can able to say, listen, my guy did X. Wentz doesn't have that.
Hey, you know, to each his own, brother. You got it.
Yeah, eventually, you got to hope that that happens as opportunity presents it. I think we have this amnesia about what he did in 2017 season for the first 13 games. I don't have it. My memory's clear.
Listen, you know, like to me, it's not worth arguing. He's going to have to go improve next year. Look, he's going to go ahead and go prove it. Bottom line, he's got to go out and prove it, and he's got to win people over.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.